Here it goes. Yes, now we are recording. So, good morning, everybody, and we are so happy to see you online. We have had a lot of challenges with this course due to pandemic, but now, finally, this is now the first training on digital competencies for the Fordham Alliance teachers that we are now able to give. We are glad to have you here. And welcome to the course. So, my name is Merja Laamanen, and I work as a digital transformation lead here in the University of Jyväskylä. And me and my colleague Liisa Kallio, you can say hello as well.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, so me and Liisa will be giving this training to you. And I will start with the introduction session. So the idea of the training is that we have 4 days and 4 hours per each day, like individual sessions on digital competencies and ABC model and so on. I will go it through in a minute. So we will record the lecture parts that we can, but as I mentioned, there will be a lot of parts that we won't be able to record because there are a lot of interactive parts as well. But anyway, so let me walk you through the introduction to the course. So this is the first slot of the training today. Every day we will meet in Central European time from 10 to 12, and then we have 1 hour's break, and from 1 till 3 p.m. Central European time we will have another 2 hour slot, and we try to remember have a couple of minutes breaks during the sessions as well, because we all know that it's quite cognitively loading to be online for very like in live sessions for a very long time. Of course, we know that many of you are very experienced teachers, and thanks for the pandemic, we have had to get used to these marathons of meetings and trainings. But anyway, we try to remember have a small break during the session. And first, we'll have an overview of the training. What are we going to do with you during these next couple of days? And I will tell you about the DigComp Edu framework. And also some background information. If there was no pandemic, we would be now meeting in Jyväskylä. Actually, we would have met last autumn in Jyväskylä, but now like that the life is like it is, then we are now doing this first training live online in Zoom. And please feel free to ask questions, comment, interrupt me if you have any questions during this introduction part. So this first slot is for introduction, and also here maybe if you have any questions or comments. And we have done the participants' introductions in Moodle beforehand, and thank you for them. It was very nice to learn something of you even before the training. Yes, so now a quick overview of the training, just to make sure that we all have the same idea what we are going to offer you during this course. So the focus of the training is these tools and knowledge for pedagogical design of your own courses. They can be fully online or blended courses. It's up to you which course you have chosen to develop during this training. So all the information you get during this training, we hope you can use it for developing your own course. And what is very valuable also during this course is all the valuable feedback and ideas and experiences and tips from you to each other. So from this network that we are now forming during this first training. So we all come from seven different universities, from seven different countries. We have a diverse background, diverse experience on digital competencies. So it is very important that you also get to share your experiences and maybe hear if someone in another university has already solved a problem that you are now facing, and also hear which tools you are using and so on. So please feel free to share your ideas and thoughts and experience. That's one very important part of this training as well. So not we are not claiming that all the knowledge and skills is behind me and Lisa, no, but this is very valuable network as well for you to share your information and experiences, because we can learn from each other's experiences as well. And the learning goals of this training is first, of course, understand the concept of these digital competencies. We will not be going through all of them, but we will be concentrating on few of them. And also, we will have a look at the digital resources like tools, which you can use in your teaching in a flexible and comprehensive and effective way. And also, you will learn how to use the ABC learning design model on your own courses. And I know some of you already are familiar with this and some of you had never heard of this. No worries, we will walk you through. And those who already have experience, like I remember at least Matthew has already used this, then please feel free to share your experiences. We will be doing this in subgroups, in smaller groups. And we will get to this ABC model today in the afternoon session. And here is the course content and schedule. This is in Moodle as well as a separate tab. But so during these 4 days, we have two sessions each day, 2 hours slots. And this is now, I have to say that this is now flexible in the sense that if you need more time to some, for example, for this ABC model, then we will rearrange other topics so that you will have enough time for this. So we have, me and my colleague Lisa, we have designed this course content in the way that if there are some topics that just need more time than we have predicted, then they shall have the time. So no worries. So, but that's just for your information that there may be some changes. We will go through all the topics. We are not skipping anything, but then we just reshaped our plan to your need, what you need. And the digital competence areas that we'll be going through during the course are teaching and learning, parts of them, part of that, and assessment and empowering learners. And I will go deeper to this in a minute. But anyway, on Monday, the morning session goes with the introduction and how this course will be organized. And the afternoon session is about ABC model. You will do some group work as well. And then tomorrow we will continue with the ABC model, the time that it takes. And then we will touch this synchronous versus asynchronous learning on online teaching and learning topic. And then on Wednesday, we will go have a more look at the guidance and interaction and activating and in online teaching, and also have a look at the assessment, because these guidance and assessment, they very often also go a bit hand on hand. Then on Thursday, we will concentrate on accessibility issues, digital accessibility of your materials and teaching. And I must say, I'm really looking forward to this because this is close to my heart. This is my PhD topic, how to improve accessibility in higher education institutions, online education. So we will talk more about this. And then we will go through the next steps, what we would like you to do. There will be the part of independent work online. And during that independent work online, you will revise your own course plan and share it in Moodle. The deadline is there as well. So by 14th of April, please feel free to do it earlier as well. You can do it as early as you wish, but that's the deadline. So you will have time to give peer feedback to each other. You will be giving feedback to two members. We will make the groups anyway. So there will be time to give feedback. And then we will have a roundup seminar on Tuesday, 20th of April. And then we will go through feedback on your or give feedback on your course plans. And also we'll have time to look at some issues that may have come up during this independent work online, meaning that the other option would have been to have a roundup seminar with your presentations as the last session, but then there would be no time to really go through all the plans thoroughly and give feedback. So now this is why we are doing now it this way, that you will share the plan online. I will tell you the framework for it in a minute. And you will give feedback to two colleagues, and then we will have the roundup seminar. And if there are some issues or problems that were not solved or questions raised during that online work, then we can have a further look at them. And you will all get a certificate of participation when you finish the course. Do you have any questions concerning the course content and schedule? Now, I will tell you about the final draft of your course plan.
No question for me.
No question, thank you.
Okay, great. And this is actually already in Moodle, these presentation slides as PDF files, so you don't have to make notes, because we will share you all the materials that we will be showing to you. Then let's go to the part that probably interests all of you. What do I have to pass the course? Oh well. So this is the all the work you do during this course, this final draft, it's work that you do for yourself. You just share it with us. So we are not kind of asking anything extra for this course. So this is quite like up to you how you wish to do it. You can either use the ABC model or decide not to use it. This is up to you. This is your choice. We just want you to tell us, why did you choose to use the ABC model and which parts of it did you take to your course plan? Or if you chose not to use it, then just let us know why, because this is interesting, because there are so many things that really have impact on your course designs, like your home organizations or your home university's framework or pedagogical framework or whatever. So we are not demanding you to use this. It's up to you. Just tell us, why did you use it or not, and which parts did you take? And then we want to know, how did you develop your course plan according to the topics of training? So we want to know the impact of the training. Please be honest with us. If you say, well, I learned nothing new, then just tell it to us. And you can choose the mode of the presentation. It can be a video, or it can be a text, or you can share a PowerPoint or PDF file, or you can draw a mind map and maybe make an audio or video explaining it. It's up to you, whichever feels best to you. But just be clear and concise, thinking that you will share it to the whole group, so at least 15 participants now that we have, and you will look through each other's plans, because you may learn and get some ideas and tips from each other's plans. Just don't make them too heavy and long. So for example, a video maximum 10 minutes, or 2 to 3 text pages, or 10 presentation slides. So these are options. You don't have to do a video and a presentation and a text. No, choose the form that suits best to you. And then share it in Moodle. There's a special slot for this, and provide feedback to two specified participants by Sunday. Of course, if you feel like it or you get very inspired of someone's plans, feel free to provide even more feedback. But this is the way we want to make sure that each of you gets feedback from at least two participants. And we'll get back to this. We will revise this at latest on Thursday. But do you have any questions now?
Are you going to specify which participant we should give feedback to?
Yes. We will tell it to you by Thursday, at latest on Thursday.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Good. Any other questions? If not, and we'll, as I said, we'll get back to this at latest on Thursday. So, but this is for your information that, as you see, we are quite liberal in this. We give you the freedom to choose the best mode you want to give the presentation. And also we do not force you to use the ABC model. Feel free to use it if it suits you. If it doesn't fit to your plans, then just skip it. So, but what we are interested in, how did you develop your course according to the topics of this training? Because of course we want to know the impact, and then we will be able to develop the training for the next round, because there will be two similar trainings coming. So they will all have the same content, but of course we are going to develop it according to your feedback of this training. And then a short view of the tools that you will be using during this course. So the live sessions will be in Zoom, as we are now. And then we will provide the materials and links to extra resources or optional materials or a place for further discussions in Moodle, in your Vascular University's Moodle, as long as we don't have the shared for them platform yet. You got the user IDs to your Vascular University Moodle. And I will actually show a quick tour on this Moodle course, just to show you how it looks like. So this is the main page, homepage of the course, and you did the introduction part here, the pre-tasks. So this is already familiar to you. And then each day has a separate tab here, and we will open them in the beginning of the day at latest. So for example, to Monday, like today, there is an own page. Not very much information here though, just the part one will be introduction, part two will be ABC model, and then I have shared the these slides that I'm showing you here, and there's also a link to Finnish Higher Education Institute's DigiVision that I will tell you a few words later, and then there's also a folder for the ABC templates that Lisa will tell you in the afternoon session. And here you can also find a questions and answers slot. You can ask about the arrangements or course content, and you can also discuss here about the issues that have come up during the course. So if you have any questions or today after the sessions this evening, there's something that you want to ask or add or comment, please feel free to write a message to this Q&A forum. And you also find a course content and schedule the draft here. The draft meaning that this is flexible. If something, some topic needs more time or some topic goes faster, then we reshape the schedule. We will not skip anything, but we will just be flexible with the time that we are using here. Good. And I know all of you were able to get to the Moodle. You introduced yourself, so this is where you find the information. Great. Now let's continue. We will also use some other tools, at least this Fling for group works. It's a digital Post-it and Flap version. Lisa will introduce it to you later today, but it's a very simple tool. If we were face-to-face in a classroom, we might use traditional Post-its and Flap papers, but now we are using digital version of it. It's a collaborative digital whiteboard. Great. Are you ready to have a quick look at the Digital Competence Edu framework? Any questions about the course content and schedule?
That's clear, I think.
Great. I think we're ready to have a look at this. So this is a digital competencies framework that we are using on the training, but don't worry, we are not going to go very deep in it. Just for your information, that why are we using this kind of framework and what does it actually mean? So this is a European framework for the development of educators' digital competence. There's another version for the citizens' digital competencies, for example, but now we are using the one meant for educators. And the main idea is to have a common frame of reference and language and logic, because it's hard to, for example, estimate a level on your digital competencies if we are not quite sure what we are talking about when we are talking about the digital competencies, understandable. So this, this has very high aims, so to say, boost innovation in education and support national and regional and local efforts in fostering educators' digital competence. And what we are going to have a look is, we'll have a look at the areas and the scope now. So on the left, there is educators' professional competencies, which is professional engagement and more subject-specific competence. We are not going to go through them. Now, we will concentrate on educators' pedagogic competences that you see in the middle. And there are digital resources that we will not really touch during this training, but we will concentrate on teaching and learning and assessment and empowering learners, these parts. And these are kind of a general, not subject-specific competencies. There's also on the right, there is learners' competencies, which are like transversal competencies, facilitating learners' digital competence. But this is more like the student's point of view. We are not going there. So what we are going to concentrate on now is part of this teaching and training and assessment and teaching and learning assessment and empowering learners. And there are 22 competencies on this framework. So that's why we had to choose. We cannot touch everything. So we are going to, we will touch quite many of these sub points like teaching guidance, collaborative learning, self-regulated learning, accessibility and inclusion, and so on, but not everything, because as you see, all of these 22 individual competencies, they they already have a lot inside them. Like, let's say teaching is one. So we could have the whole course solely on teaching, digital competencies needed in teaching. And this is just these two previous slides in one year. But more a few words about this model, because I know we have several linguists here. So if this progression model looks familiar to you, yes, you are correct. This is based on the Common European Framework of Reference for Languages. So they are the stages starting from newcomer, then continuing to explorer, integrator, expert, leader, and pioneer. And as you did the self-estimating test as the pre-task, we already know that you evaluated yourselves first, and then you did the test, and we have very different levels, participants from different levels here, which is great and fine, because that's how we learn. We have explorers and integrators and experts here. So please, we are looking forward to hear your experiences and share your ideas to each other. So these are in the materials. I'm not going to read them through, because you get to, I actually think these names already kind of describe the levels quite well. And there's also Bloom's taxonomy behind. So any questions about these digital competencies before we go to the next part?
Just maybe a notice is Frederick.
Yeah.
I think it reflects a lot what you think on yourself, because it's hard to self-position yourself in a field. So then you have the test, but it's strongly tied to how you see yourself, I think.
True, and we already had experiences with you that somebody you estimated yourselves to different levels than the test actually said. So don't worry, this is the difficulty of tests, what they assess and how. So don't worry if it was not the expected level. But this is one version of the truth, so to say. Mm.
No, it's not the expected level, but I think the questions themselves are strongly tied to what you think on yourself, so which makes evaluation difficult, I think.
Yeah, true. Any other comments or thoughts on this framework?
Just to say that it seems to be really interesting, so we are, you know, just willing to go into it.
Yeah, great, good. And there's, I think we shared the link as well, but I can also once more share it in Moodle, but there are very good kind of handbook on these digital competencies at the European Union's pages. I will share you the link, so if you want to know more, there's quite a lot of information about it.
Maybe one thing that is important with the pre-task is that even if it gave you a different result that you were expecting to have, at least it maybe made you think about certain things, like somebody had just mentioned in the presentations or the introductions, that you hadn't thought about this and this before you took the test. So maybe this gives you then also, or helps also when you plan your courses in the future.
true. Yeah. Because there are so many views or perspectives on course design that if you haven't really thought of something or like how assessment affects to course design, for example, then you may learn something new. Okay, so now I just add the link, quick link to this digital competence framework on the course materials in Moodle in the Monday tab. So there you find it easily. And now I will tell you a few words of Jyväskylä University, because as I already said, we were so looking forward to organize the training here already last autumn, but yeah, no need to mention it once more why we are not doing it. So we are now doing this fully online, but just a few words for you, because this is like our background. We have both graduated in Jyväskylä University, me and Lisa, and this is what I want to tell you a few words, what kind of university we are, because this all also affects on the topics that we are talking to you. So Jyväskylä University, JYU, is the short version in a nutshell. This is an overview of the campus area, all these red brick and white buildings that you see here are university campus areas. So we have architecture from the 19th century till I think the newest building is like from 3 years ago. So there are different architectural layers that you can see. But so just a few words, I will keep it short. Jyväskylä University is a multidisciplinary research university, and it was established in 1863, which may sound quite young to most of you coming from older European universities, but in Finland that's quite old, not the oldest one, but anyway. And actually it was established before Finland got the independence. We got the independence 1917, so we were part of Russia when it was our university had its first start. So we have around 15,000 students and about 2,500 experts, meaning staff working here. That includes all the administrational and research and education, or like teachers as well. And we have 100 nationalities here, and we have more than 1,000 international students, meaning we have international master's degrees, for example, master's degree programs, and we have 6 faculties, and we also have very active open university, which has at least the same amount of students as the so-called traditional university side. This depends on the nations and cultures, but here in Finland, the open universities are a kind of separate units of the university. So it's not, so that's why we count the students separately as well. But what I wanted to tell you is that our university has origins in the first Finnish-speaking teacher training college, which was founded 1863. So it's called the cradle of the Finnish-speaking higher education teaching. So that's why we are very, very proud of it. Because we are, as I will tell you soon, we are a large country, but very few people and small language area. And just an overview of the faculties, this might be interesting for you because you also come from different disciplines. We have now 6 faculties. We did some reorganizing lately. So we have now Faculty of Education and Psychology. And this is like one of the areas where we are top in our country, actually quite high also internationally. And then we have Faculty of Humanities and Social Sciences, and IT faculty, and we have faculty of mathematics and science, and we have the only faculty of sport and health sciences in whole Finland. So it's in Jyväskylä. If you want to become a sport teacher or trainer, for example, you have to come to study in Jyväskylä. And then we also have a School of Business and Economics. And students have quite a lot of freedom to choose studies from other faculties. So they have, of course, there's the curriculum and what they need to study. But for example, you can, if you are studying chemistry as a major, you can still study other subjects from other faculties. So that's quite a freedom here in Finland and in Jyväskylä. And these are the latest rankings from depending on the source, from 2019 to 2021. So if you wish to know more, there's more information at the university pages. This is now our latest rankings. And then some pictures from the university area, because now we can say that wish you were here, although maybe not the winter time is the easiest time to visit Finland. But this is just an overview of one of our campus areas called Ylistönrinne campus area, which is the home of the mathematics and science. And here in one of these buildings, we have the only particle accelerator at the physics department, the only one in the Scandinavian, and only one definitely or like the biggest in the educational use. There is one, there are other ones like in the southern Finland as well, but this is what brings us to our Department of Physics, a lot of researchers and students around the world, because they have this accelerator. And what is nice in the wintertime? Well, did you know that Finland is the only country in the world that every winter it gets surrounded by ice, because the sea that surrounds us from some parts of Finland, there's not enough salt, so it actually freezes every winter, and we have those icebreakers, special ships that clear channels and parts in the ice for other ships. Well, we don't have sea here in the Jyväskylä area, but we have a lot of lakes in general in Finland, and also in the central Finland area where we live now. So in the wintertime, as you can see, the lake is frozen here. So you can have every winter, if the weather allows it, the city of Jyväskylä makes a skiing and skating ring on the ice here, which is very nice. And people are using the lake on the ice as a shortcut to walk wherever they want. So this is now very typical of you at the moment. Now the spring is coming. Let's see how fast the snow melts. I wouldn't go to the ice anymore. And some culture information for you as well. Alvar Aalto is a world famous functionalist architect who is from central Finland, and he has designed a lot of buildings here in Jyväskylä area, and we have several universities buildings here in the campus area as well that were designed by Alvar Aalto. So here is our main building on the left in the winter time. And we have every year a lot of, when it's not pandemic, but usually we have a lot of tourists and architecture fans visiting the university area, because it's a very nice area with a lot of Alvar Aalto's buildings there. And what's happening on the right? Well, you're not here now, but if you were in the wintertime, we would introduce you to Finnish crazy hobbies. One is going to sauna, which you probably may know, hot and steamy room, and it gets like 80 degrees, 90 degrees hot, and then you may go out and roll in the snow, or you can go swimming in an ice hole. So that's actually something very healthy without the sauna, that you go and swim or dip in a frozen lake where it's very cold. And you're probably not very thrilled of the idea, but just to give you an idea that what are we doing here in the wintertime? Skiing and swimming in the...
This kind of activity is actually very popular in Poland this year.
Yeah, great. So you have had a good winter there as well. Yeah. Good. So this was now the introduction to Jyväskylä University area. And now I have few words to tell you about the online education in Finland. But what do you think? Would you like to have the break now? Now would be a good slot to have a few minutes break, like 4 minutes or 5 minutes. I will be generous now, 5 minutes break if you want to fill your cup of coffee.
Thank you very much.
nobody's against this idea. Great. Good. So let's have a 5 minutes break. Now we will continue, let's say, in 5 minutes, I will write the time in CET to the chat. So go and get some coffee. You will need it. There will be 1 more hour to go before the 1 hour break.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you. Okay, let's continue. I hope you are back. Yes, great.
Yeah.
Good. And Aaron is having a cup of coffee as proposed. Good. Great. It's always a good idea to have another cup of coffee. Especially now that you have been mostly listening to me, but don't worry, we'll get to the discussion mode as well at the end of this session. Great. So I assume that you are back online, and yes, let's continue. So we are now at about the halfway of the first slot, and now I will give you a very brief introduction to online education in Finland. That would have been a topic for a whole course of 5 days or 5 weeks. So you understand that this is very, 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 very much the main lines of the topic that I will share to you. But this is why we want to share this information with you, is that you know the framework that me and Lisa come from, and where we are talking to you now, because there are different kind of cultures, and of course also organizational cultures and educational cultures in different countries. So I will tell you where Finland is and what's the history of online education in Finland. So we have a long tradition of distance and online teaching because we are a large country with a small population. We only have about 5.5 million inhabitants, but as you see on the map, it is relatively large country, if you think about the square kilometers. So we are a small population, and we are also a small language group. So we have several official languages here in Finland. Swedish, Finnish and Swedish are the main ones. But anyway, practically, Finland is the only country where people speak Finnish as their native tongues. And now that I told you that we are a large country with small population and small language group, but we have relatively many higher education institutions. This is like the Finnish distribution. We have universities and we have universities of applied sciences, but they have a bit different, these higher education institutions have different disciplines and focus in research and teaching. But anyway, we have like about 35 higher education institutions here in Finland. And we also have a very active and well-spread network of open universities. And we also have very active cross-studying of degree students, which has started as projects and as cooperation between some higher education institutions, but it's spreading all the time. So we are actively, and the state is actively supporting and funding like flexible studying and online studying and continuous learning, lifelong learning, and so on. So we have very active educational policies to spread the education around the country, even there where there are less higher education institutions, because the population is packed more to the southern Finland, to the capital Helsinki area, and there are more higher education institutions there related to less populated areas. And Finland has been very active in this a continuous development of education and educational policies. They have often started as projects, like we had National Virtual University Project 2001 to 2006. I worked there myself for a couple of years as well, which was practically a network of universities providing education and online education together for a very large number of teachers, university teachers. And there are also very strong visions nationwide and also like here in Jyväskylä locally. If I start with the national DigiVision to 2030, all Finnish higher education institutions are now together in this vision, and it aims to open national databases for learning. I have one slide of that DigiVision. I will tell you more about it in a minute. But we also have a local digital development program, which has its main lines from the strategy of the Jyväskylä University, and then it has a roadmap for several years, starting to 2018 and ending next year. And at the moment, we're actually updating it because, like, for example, last year there were a lot of things that happened that we had not planned a few years ago due to COVID. There was a huge acceleration of digitalization in our university. So we actually reached more issues than we were planning. So just a few words of this DigiVision 2030, because this is now very important and has a lot of impact in the higher education institutions in Finland, because the state is strongly financing this project. It has proved several tens of millions of euros to this program. And it aims to make Finland as a model country for flexible learning. And they want to become a global pioneer. So they have very high aims, but there are four promises, as they say, in this DigiVision. They want to share learners' data for themselves so they can use their own data and create data pools. And they want to put the learners' benefit at the center of the development, for example, to make learners' path from one educational level to another easy, and use digital steering and support in that. And also higher education institutes are open communities led with information, so that for that they are, for example, creating shared data pools and sharing a lot of data. And in anyhow, one of the promises is data for use by individuals and society, so including citizen science as well. And there already are quite nice open databases of, for example, higher education institutions, data the higher education institutes have reported, so they are available for all, most of it, not everything, of course. But I think this is quite interesting and affecting us very strongly, because now the state is giving money for certain development purposes or projects. So this will really practically steer universities digital roadmaps. So this is just, yeah, please do.
This question, does it include the grades and such information about students, or what's included in the data pools?
Let me see. I will tell you. I shared, if you're interested in this, I shared a link to the Moodle already with a one PDF presentation about this. So let's see, I can
check on my own.
I'll check if I find it. I can actually show it or tell it to you. So if they have already, because this is now in the beginning, I want to see if they have shared any more practical. So what they want to share, I can actually share this slide. This might explain more to you. Here, this one I have linked to. I wonder if it's too small, if you can see it. Let's put it to, like this. But this is now what they have planned. So this is now in the beginning. They have just this spring, they have hired a project manager for this, and now they have shared the aims to several work packages, and they will start actually specifying the needs.
That's interesting. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. So you can check what they have written here and probably follow this how it continues. But I think it's very important and interesting that the state is so strongly now aiming to cooperation on this area. And what I find remarkable is that all the higher education institutes in Finland are now, they are in this. So this is quite interesting. It's not just few or not just southern universities or whatever, but they're all together in this. So let's see what they will do. They are just in the beginning now. Would you like to say, Lisa, something? You have also listened to the, they have now, what they have done now is to share online webinars with the universities, telling what they are planning. Would you like to raise some topics as well, Lisa? I know that you have also followed the birth of the DigiVision and development of it.
Yes, I think what is most important now is that the work packages that are, well, they are being now started in the DigiVision work, and they are now kind of forming there and planning their work. And there is also going to be kickoff webinars now coming up in April, for example, for the pedagogical issues, digital pedagogical issues. The work package 4 is going to have a kickoff webinar for all interested staff and experts in the universities. So it is very interesting to see how the work starts and what comes of the work packages. You're muted, Maria.
Yes, sorry. I was wondering if I remember correct the amount of euros. It was 38 million euros to some time slot. But anyway, it was a lot of tens of millions of euros that they are now, the state is going to put to this project. And what I find interesting and important as well is that now at the moment here in the Finnish higher education institutions, we are doing cooperation and we are networked and so on, but still we mainly have our own infrastructure, our own LMS learning management systems and our own study information systems. But now there is a strong tendency to national development. So we are actually already using a study information system that is developed and shared by many other higher education institutions. We have, Jyväskylä has a history of producing these systems as in-house production. So there's a lot of culture shock in shifting to these joint systems that cannot be updated as easily as it or developed as easily to our needs than the in-house products. And for example, sharing the data, that is very interesting because or using shared platforms, because it depends on the solution, but it's quite often if we all pay some amount of money and have one system that is developed, then it's probably what serves best. Or then there's the other end, that if we want to have a tailored system and how it affects the teachers and teachers' everyday life. Great. Actually, we have one Jyväskylä University teacher here, Aaron, online. Would you like to say something from a teacher's point of view of these changes or visions? How does it, do you already, have you heard as a teacher of this? Because me and Lisa, we come from the digital services, so we should be aware of these and follow the national development. But as a kind of regular teacher, Aaron could share us your experience. Have you heard of this DigiVision, and do you have any expectations on your everyday work to this kind of vision? Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, this is the first time I'm hearing it, but I think MOVI, well, essentially the Language Center at JYU, is kind of developing like a mini team, like on flexible learning. So this, maybe they're trying to fit it in to here later. I don't know. In terms of that central database, it's actually gotten a lot better. And it does make life easier if students are transferring between universities to track down their credits, at least because I'm an English teacher. So I kind of have to see if everything matches up. So it has actually made things a lot easier for me. I That's all I really have to add.
Yeah, thanks. But,
I do have one question. Are the teachers going to be able to access this data? Or is it going to be kind of limited to certain staff members?
This of DigiVision data?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they have really specified that yet, but I think because if they're aiming to be as open as possible, they, I think teachers should be able to access to. But I think they are just, because now they are forming the work packages and finding the people to participate to them. So I think this is now the starting point that they are going to specify these issues. But I think teachers should be able to, because they are the ones doing the hands-on job in this, so I think they should.
Okay.
Yeah, great. But yes. So this is, as I said, this is really now, it's starting. It has started. It is starting now during this spring and winter time. So it's probably more on the higher education institutions, leaders level that they have been discussing about this, but I'm sure they will participate, teachers and hopefully students as well, in this development. Yeah, so in 9 years, we will know if Finland reached this aim as a global pioneer. Yeah, and now one more slide before we activate you in discussions. So, well, it's kind of hard and difficult and even dangerous to say that this is now the Finnish framework for online teaching, but at least this is like the very much Jyväskylä and even Finnish point of view, student-centered learning. So both teachers and students have quite strong academic freedom in Finnish universities, and student agency and participation is very strong and also very desired, positive here in our universities. And there are different learning styles, and most of the teachers teach using constructive and collaborative learning approaches. So this is very, so to say, modern and student-centered framework for learning. So, for example, if we this week we are going to discuss about assessment, for example, so we will share you ideas of peer review, how students can give feedback to each other. And we know that in some educational contexts, that's not very desired or not very strong point of view, but we will share you the ideas that our teachers here are doing. So you can feel free to pick up what you want and maybe it suits to your university and your own teaching context. But just as a background information, that this is what is like the Finnish and also Jyväskylä University's strong framework. Okay, I think I will quit my monologue now, and I will actually stop the recording now, because we will go to smaller groups.